setting of what all this takes place. I tell you, there's a lot more going on here than what you just get reading on the surface. You do a little digging and cross-referencing, and you find out that God had been working in the city of Nineveh through various events, shaking their confidence in their false gods and their wrong teaching, and preparing for a man of God to show up and preach the word of God. And the problem, God's problem, it seems to me, isn't getting lost people saved. It seems like his biggest challenge is getting saved people share the gospel with the lost people. And if we can just give the, if we can get somebody to take the gospel to them, folks will get saved. And so that's what this is all about. And as I'm studying this, I'm telling you, I've really enjoyed studying this book. I'm learning, and the Lord's working on my heart. But I view the book of Jonah and the events here completely different and then what I did before we started the series, before I started preparing for this. I'm seeing the book of Jonah as a missions manual on how not to answer the call of God, pretty much. And but we're learning how God operates and how God gets people to the field and some of the background things here. So I'm just going to read verse 1 and 2. We're going to just take this step at a time. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." I want to talk tonight about the call of Jonah, the call of Jonah. Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would bless our study of your word. I'm grateful for this little tiny book stuffed here in the Old Testament, in the back of the Old Testament. Lord, most of us know the whale. A lot of us don't know much about Jonah and what all was involved here, and I pray that would change. I ask, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, speak through me, and challenge us, Lord. Help us to find our place in your kingdom and in your service where you would have us to be. And Lord, help us to be about that in the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, fill me, I pray, and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing I learned today is don't eat two big bowls of spaghetti right before you preach. And so if I start making strange sounds, just ignore that. What I want to do is I want to take the book of Jonah and just break it down a little bit and put it in. I want to outline the book. But what I want to do is I want to do an outline I've come up with. There's a gazillion of them out there. You can Google in outlines of the book of Jonah, and you'll get 95 different ones. And I've looked at all of them. I decided I'm going to go to the Bible and look at it myself. And I broke this down, and this will help us understand the approach I'm coming to this book. And I think it'll make a little sense for you. And I think sometimes if we can take a portion of Scripture, maybe a book of the Bible, and we can break it down into an outline and get it into segments, the whole thing makes a little bit more sense to us. And so this is what I've got. I have chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. I have this as Jonah's call by God. We're going to look at that tonight. That's where God calls Jonah. Then I have verse chapter 1 and verse number 3 is Jonah's contention with God. God calls him, look at verse 3, God calls him to go to Nineveh. Verse 3 says, but there's a problem right there. God says, do this, and you have the next word is but. That's not a good thing. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so Jonah has a contention with God about this call. Then in chapter 1, verse 4 through 17, we have God's chastisement of Jonah. Jonah has a call from God. Jonah has a contention with God about that call. Then Jonah's chastened by God because he's fleeing. Yet all the way to the end of chapter 2, you pick up, end of chapter 1, I'm sorry. Then you pick up in chapter 2 and you have Jonah's confession to God. And the whole chapter 2, just about, except for the last verse, I think, is Jonah's prayer in the belly of the whale, praying to God, confessing his sin, confessing that God was right, he needs things right. So you have Jonah's confession. Then in chapter 3, verse 1 through 10, you have Jonah's capitulation to the call of God. Now, I use these big words every now and then, just so you know, I really are a college graduate. And so Jonah's capitulation, what do we mean by if somebody capitulates to something, what are they doing? They're giving up. They're giving in. They're submitting. And so Jonah, chapter 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, arise, go to Nineveh, preach against the city, I bid thee. And Jonah rose and went to Nineveh. So Jonah capitulates. We're going to notice this. He's not real excited about it, but he does. He submits, he surrenders, he goes ahead and does what God says. Then in chapter 4, verse 1 through 8, we see the carnality of Jonah. He may be a man of God, but he sure is a carnal man of God. And just completely wrapped up in himself. And God deals with that. Then I put down in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, I put Jonah's confrontation by God. Finally, God says, all right, I'm going to deal with this guy's carnality. And God confronts him. And so that's my approach. We're approaching it with Jonah being our focus. And everything revolving around Jonah, how he responded and how God dealt with him. So let's come back to verse 1, chapter 1. And let's take a few moments and let's look at this call of God on Jonah's life. Now, when we talk about God's call, Jonah was already a prophet. This is not a call to the ministry. That had already taken place previous in Jonah's life. Remember, we were all the way back at, was it 2 Kings, I think? 2 Kings chapter 14. Where God had, Jonah was already a prophet of God. He had already been preaching and had a tremendously successful ministry there under Jeroboam II. And so when we're talking about God's call here, it's not a call to the ministry, but it is a call to a particular field of service. I think there's an aspect of Christian service that a lot of us fail to grasp. And that is this, serving God is a tremendous privilege. Do you get that? It's a privilege to serve God. It is a wonderful opportunity that God gives to us, that we have the privilege of sharing the eternal gospel that saves souls and changes lives. We have the privilege of sharing that with people. And we miss that a lot of times. A lot of times, I'm afraid, we don't see serving God as a great honor, but we see it sometimes as some sort of privilege, that as some sort of a right that I have, not as a privilege. You follow what I'm saying? Well, I've got this right. I've got the right to that. No, it's not some right I have. It's a privilege I have that God gives me. If God wanted to, he could use a donkey to preach. He could use a donkey to teach the book of Jonah. Watch it. No smart. Joy is just trying very, very hard up here. serving God is not some favor I'm doing for God. Follow what I'm saying? It's not me. It's not doing God a favor, doing the church a favor. I told you before about the roommate I had when I first got down to Bible college, came back, and this guy was as carnal as Jonah. And he comes back and says, well, bless God, I gave out a gospel tract today. And I was really glad that he gave out a gospel tract, but it was like the whole world's going to stop and bow down and throw cookies at him or something, you know. And, you know, I was like, boy, I really did God a favor today. I gave out a gospel tract. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not diminishing giving out a gospel tract. But it's not doing God a favor. It's an opportunity I have to represent the Lord. I had a fellow years ago here, and he sang a special. And this is a long time ago. And later in that week, he said to me, and I think I took him as being serious. He said, preacher, you owe me big time now. He sang a special, and I owed him big time. And I said, whoa, hold your horses, whoa. I said, you didn't do that for me. That was for the Lord. And God don't owe any of us nothing. I said, we get to stand up, and we get to do something for God. It's not me doing God something, and God now owes me big time. It's, man, I owe God everything I am and ever hope to be, and I have an opportunity to do something for him. And so I think Jonah missed that, to be honest with you. Jonah lost sight of the fact that he had a tremendous privilege to be a man of God, to be a prophet of God. And now God's calling him in a unique ministry to go to this foreign mission field. Very few folks in the Old Testament, it's recorded that God called him to do that. And here he has this tremendous opportunity. And even the fact that, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but even the fact that he gets there and sees one of the most amazing revival and most amazing evangelistic services that have ever been in the history of mankind, he completely misses all of it. Because for Jonah, serving God was not a privilege, it was some obligation I had. It was some favor I'm doing. Rather than saying, man, I get to be serve God. Jonah lost sight of the fact it is a privilege to serve God. Can I take it a step farther? Now this is where I'm speaking for myself here now. We don't fully appreciate this next statement. It is a privilege to suffer for God. It's a privilege. Take it a step farther. It's a privilege to give myself as a sacrifice for God. What a privilege. Now, we don't look at it that way. We look at it, oh, that's so terrible. They just sacrificed so much for the Lord and for missions. But from God's perspective, it's not a sacrifice. Keep your place here. We're going to jump back and forth a little bit for a few minutes between Jonah and Acts. Jonah and the book of Acts. And I'm telling you, I'm studying this book, I'm seeing missions, missions, missions in this book. And I keep coming back to incidences in the book of Acts that illustrate truths that are brought out in the book of Jonah. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Tell my wife not to make spaghetti right before church again. It's her fault. Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 41. Now stop and think about this. And let's take it a little farther. Let's stop and put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples here, these New Testament Christians. Acts chapter 5, verse number 41. Look at this. And they, the believers, the disciples here, they departed from the presence of the council. Look at this next statement. Rejoicing that they were counted, what? Worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, they've just been beaten, they've been threatened, they've been falsely accused, they've been arrested. And here's their attitude coming out of it. Praise God, we were able to suffer shame for the name of Christ. God gave us that privilege to be falsely accused and to be mistreated because of our commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a privilege, what an honor. That's an amazing thing. That is the exact opposite attitude that Jonah had. Look at verse 42. Same people, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. For them, it was a tremendous privilege. For them, it was a great honor. What? They're going to beat us up and threaten us and mock us and call us names and mistreat us because of our commitment to Christ? Praise the Lord, what a privilege. That was their whole mentality. Jonah missed that. And God calls him. God has this tremendous privilege, and Jonah has this tremendous privilege to be called of God for God to use him in Nineveh. Now, let's look at this call real quick. So our thought tonight is Jonah's call. I'll give you a few thoughts about our thought on Jonah's call. Number one, Jonah's call was a principled call. Come back to Jonah chapter 1 here. I'm just breaking this down by phrases pretty much. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Jonah's call to Nineveh was grounded in the word of God. Now that's important. All of our service for the Lord must be Bible-based. You follow what I'm saying? Our Sunday school ministry must be Bible-based. What do you mean by that? I mean by that our subject is Bible. Amen? Our methods are Bible methods. Our goals are Bible goals. Our approach is a Bible approach. Everything about Jonah's call to Nineveh was principled in the Word of God. And the Word of God came to Jonah. All of our evangelism is to be Bible-based. Listen, this may sound, this may throw some people, but I think you understand what I'm saying. But there's something more important than winning souls. And that is being true to the Word of God. And there's a mentality in certain circles of Christianity that if it's winning souls, then anything goes. But the fact of the matter is, there are Bible principles that I must obey, I must submit to in my winning of the lost. And so Jonah, God comes to Jonah, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. This is a principled call. Our service to the Lord must be Bible-based, must be governed by principles of Scripture. Our evangelism must be governed by the Word of God. Our world missions must be governed by the Word of God. This is one reason I love Faith Promise. I am convinced it is Bible method of supporting missions. And God honors that. And so Jonah's call was a principled call. Now, he's a seasoned prophet. I keep saying this. He was familiar with the Word of God. Now, they didn't have the Bible as we do. Jonah's a prophet. God's speaking audibly to him in many cases. And Jonah is familiar. He recognizes the Word of God. He recognizes that this is God calling him. That this is the in line with the Word of God. This is not some emotional call to go there. He didn't see some documentary on Nineveh and how dark it was spiritually and how badly they needed the gospel. And he thinks, oh, I need to go. No, this was God. This is a scriptural-based call to go there. And it's not emotional appeal, but a principled call. We want people to go to the foreign field. Amen? But I want them to go because of the Bible call of God on their lives. We don't want anybody to go to Kazakhstan because mama wants to go to Kazakhstan. I don't want anybody to go to Kazakhstan because Preacher Leatherman wants them to go to Kazakhstan. I want them to go to Kazakhstan because God, through His Word, has stirred their heart and called them to Kazakhstan. Must be a Bible call. So, number one, it was Jonah's call was a principal call. I put this down. I noticed in verse number one, Jonah's call was also a personal call. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Doesn't say the word of the Lord came to the Israelites. Somebody, one of y'all, go over there to Nineveh and preach to them the gospel, or preach them the words that I'll tell you to say. Yet 40 days and the men will be destroyed. God didn't just leave that door open. God had somebody prepared, designed. He had been working in Jonah's heart. He had been preparing him for that field, for this time. And God called Jonah. And I believe that the Bible teaches God calls individuals personally to areas of ministry. Now, we all have, would you agree with me? We all have a standing order, commission, to share the gospel with everybody, right? All of us do that. Say, well, I'm not called to witness. That's ridiculous. We're all commanded to witness. We're all instructed to win souls. We have a great commission. All of us fall under that. And I tend to agree with John R. Rice when he says God takes volunteers. You know, somebody volunteers to go to Ireland to be start a church or whatever. You have to be careful about that. But God will use volunteers. I think God will use what's available. Even though it might not be everything it ought to be, if what he does want is not available. Am I making any sense? The old illustration, I used it just recently. God will use a heel of a shoe to drive in a nail if a hammer isn't available. Right? But the point here is, I believe the Bible teaches that God does call, equip, and call people for specific areas, for specific parts of the country. I've said this many times over the last 15, 20 years almost now. I've said this many times. I am convinced with every ounce of my being that me pastoring Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church is what God created me to do. I have no doubt about that in my mind. I am convinced I am absolutely at the place God's will for me to be is. And God has that for all of us, a specific place and ministry for us to do. And God called Jonah personally. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And I believe we have Jonahs all across in our churches all across America. God's calling them. God's prepared them, equipped them to hold a position somewhere in a mission field somewhere. And they're running the opposite direction. And so where does God want me to be? Where does God want you to be? Where do you and I fit in the cause of Christ? We're not just a mob. We're individuals saved by God, gifted by God for very specific areas of ministry. And God came to Jonah personally. It was a principled call on the Word of God. It was a personal call. He had a place of service for Jonah. I had to put this down. Jonah's call was a priority call. Look again in verse number 2, the first part of verse 2. I like this little phrase. And in fact, there's a lot of there's a lot implied in these first couple verses. Notice what it says. Arise, go to Nineveh. Now, what does the word arise mean? You guys help me here study a little bit. What does the word arise mean? It means get up. If you're telling someone to arise, what are they probably doing? They're probably sitting or laying down. How many of y'all had kids? You had to come in. Like, get up. Good night. It's 9:30. What are you doing? Get up. Anybody here ever do that? Some of you guys, your wives do that? Come in. And arise. So what does that tell us? If God is saying to Jonah, arise and go, what's Jonah probably doing? Sitting around doing nothing. The very fact that God used that terminology indicates to me that Jonah was spiritually out of whack from the get-go. And he's saying, listen, there's something to do. There's something needs to be done. There's a work needs to be done. There's a people that have a need to have this message from God. Get up and go. Get up and get moving is the idea behind that phrase. God's call never contradicts our responsibilities. But God's call always has priority over our responsibilities. Follow what I'm saying? Oh, preacher, I just don't have time. I got all these responsibilities to do. Listen, God's will for you isn't going to contradict God's your responsibilities. But I do say this, it has priority. I'm afraid we've got number 2 and 3 on the list of priorities up where number 1 is. And we've got number 1 in God's list of priorities way down here. We're 4 or 5 on the list. You follow what I'm saying? Doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of our houses. Doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of our responsibilities, our job and our family and all that. But God's command and call for us to be a witness and soul winning doesn't contradict that. But I'll say this, it does have priority over. And so he said, whatever Jonah was doing, this had priority. And it appears to me Jonah wasn't doing a whole lot. And God called him and his call had a priority. Number 4, I put this down. God's call was a particular call. Look at verse 2 of chapter 1. Arise, just get out there somewhere and preach. No, it's not what he says. Arise and go where? To Nineveh. And then he says, that great city, and cry against it. God had a very particular place in mind for Jonah. It's a very particular region of this planet that Jonah was to go to. And it was a particular call. Listen, we're to witness to everybody we can, right? We're supposed to witness to everybody we can. I believe it is a wise thing to carry around a pocket full or a purse full of gospel tracts. Personally, I prefer carrying them in a pocket rather than a purse. But regardless, it's a good way to carry out God's commission and share the gospel with people. We're to be a witness to everybody we can. I like to give them out at stores and different places like that, different people you meet. I like giving them out in gas stations. I like sticking them on the gas pump. Anybody here ever go down the sheets and find a track stuck in one of the gas pumps or anything? Yeah, I do that. I find them sometime. So somebody else is doing it, not just me. And I put them in restrooms and anywhere I possibly can. We're all to witness to everybody we can. But God also calls people to certain places to witness. For instance, Juah Adams is called of God to go to Kazakhstan. Chris Ward is called of God to go to Italy. He was down in Jacksonville. Now he's on his way to Italy. God's call on Alan Hamilton is to go where? Italy. Well, Sicily, Yeah. Over somewhere over there. You follow what I'm saying? At some point in Jim Shelton's Christian growth, God touched his heart, and I'd venture to say, and I can't verify this, but I would, if I was a betting man, forget it. But I'd venture to say at some point in Jim Shelton's life, God used the Word of God to touch Jim Shelton's heart and say, I want you in Puerto Rico to be a witness and be a missionary in Puerto Rico. God had a place for him. It is a particular call to that area. Like I just said, I have no doubt in my mind. God has called me to Oakland, Maryland. This is my mission field. And I've said this a number of times over the years. Kathy and I have offered ourselves to God to go to more foreign mission fields a number of times since we've been here. And without fail, God has said, this is where we want you. Now, what about you and I? God has a particular place for us. I like what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, every Christian ought to assume you're called to the foreign field unless God tells you to stay where you're at. It's a good approach. And so God's call to Jonah was, I want you to go to this very particular place. God calls people to particular places. Now, come to Acts again. This made me think of this event in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Now, you've studied your Bible a little bit. What happens in Acts 16? What's the big event in Acts 16? Stirs everybody up. The Philippian jailer gets saved. And Lydia, and man, what a time they have in Philippi. And God does amazing things there. Ah, but there's a few things that happened previous to Paul showing up in Philippi that made all of that possible. Look in verse number 6 of Acts chapter 16. The Bible says, look at verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Paul's out on this mission journey, and churches, people are getting saved. Churches are being established, and they're growing, and they're developing. And verse number 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were, what's that next word? Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. What? God doesn't want them to go somewhere and preach the word? That doesn't make sense. Look down at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. All right, well, you don't want us to go to Asia? We're going to go to Bithynia then. Look what it says. But the Spirit what? It says, nope, you ain't going there. He's like, what in the world? God's telling us not to go places? Keep reading. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Look at this. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. That's where Philippi is. Stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Look at this. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. You see what's happening? God had a particular place that he wanted Paul and Silas to go to because he was working in people's hearts and he had things in place there and he needed them to go over there and preach the gospel. Later on, the gospel gets to Asia. Later on, it gets to Bithynia. But right now, God needs them over there. And that's what's happening to Jonah. Remember we talked about the history of Nineveh and the current events going on there and all the things that were happening? These people were shook up. They were ripe and ready for somebody to come and tell them the truth. And God had a very particular place for Jonah to go to. And so it was a particular call. I tell you, I'm thrilled when we bring missionaries through here and I hear them say stuff, I know God wants me to go to this country. I know God wants me to go to this city. You know what that tells me? God's working there. God's got something up he's up to and he needs to get someone there to accomplish it. Now, it might not be immediately when they get there. They may do, as far as human eye is concerned, we may not see a whole lot, but I'm telling you, God's doing a whole lot more than what we see sometimes. As far as Jonah was concerned, there wasn't nothing happening in Nineveh. But as far as heaven and the spirit were concerned, there was a lot of things happening in Nineveh, and God needed him over there. And so it was a real particular call. It's important, I believe, especially in foreign missions, that we determine God's will concerning the place He would have us to go. I think it's important that we seek God. God's called me to foreign mission field. Where does He want you to go? I'm not sure yet. You seek God's face and you keep soul when you get after it, and God will lead you and direct you. Hey, that's why I think taking these young people on mission trips is so important. God uses that to stir their heart and direct their life. You pay attention. This next 12 months, we have a good number of missionaries coming through in the next 12 months. You pay attention to how many were on a mission trip, and on that mission trip, God stirred their heart and said, that's where I want you to go. It's amazing. God uses that. And sometimes folks will say, preacher, isn't there a better way for missionaries to get on the field than deputation? It takes 3 years at least, and all that running around churches and all over the place, there has to be a better way. I don't know if there's a better way or not, but I'll tell you, God uses missionaries that come through our church on deputation to stir our heart concerning missions. You talk to Lewis Howe, he'll tell you how many people surrendered to missions because he and Kim showed up and shared their burden, and God used them to direct somebody in that church to a mission field somewhere. So we seek God, and He directs us. What's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. Look at this. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You acknowledge God's working in your heart and life. You acknowledge that this is God's circumstances. This isn't just coincidence. It's God working. God will direct your steps and get you right where you are. And so it's a particular call here. And then I'll end with this. And I wish I didn't have to put this in, but this is a fact of life. Jonah's call was an unpleasant call. Look at verse 2. Look at the last part of verse 2. He says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Why? For their wickedness. But he doesn't say because they're so wicked. Look how he words this. For their wickedness is come up before me. Now, what does he mean, their wickedness came up before me? God sees everything, right? I mean, there's nothing hid to the eyes of God. Everything is naked and open with whom we have to do. What does he mean, their wickedness has come up before me? There's significance in that. The word wickedness there has the idea of extreme evil. These guys were bad. They were... The word that came to mind as I was studying this, these guys are nasty. Sinfully nasty. And God says their wickedness, their nastiness, has come up before me. It has this idea, they are doing it in my face. They're not even ashamed of it. It's in your face, God. And God says, Jonah, I want you to go to them. Yuck. Right? Yuck. There are certain areas and groups of people, lifestyles in our world, that if God would call me to go to them, you know what I would say? Yuck. God, I don't want to go with that. Are you serious? And it was unpleasant. I'm telling you, not everything about serving God is party time, happy time, fun time, story time. Sometimes it's just unpleasant. I'll be the first to stand up and say serving God is the joy of my life. It is a joy to serve God. But there are some things in the Christian life, in particular in Christian service, that are not very easy to do. I remember years ago we were having our SWORD conference, and Brother Bill Clark from Hagerstown, Mountain View, used to come all the time. He always sat right over there. And Charlie's kind of a separatist. He doesn't sit with the section where everybody else is. He sits over there. But Charlie Clark sat over there. And he was there before the service one night, and I'm stoked, man. I'm fired up. We've had a record number of preachers come in, and man, just everything is hunky-dory in my world. I went over to Brother Clark and I said, how's it going? We talked a little bit. And I said, man, serving God is fun. You know what he said? Wise old man, he said to me, he said, Brother Leatherman, it ain't always fun. I said, you grouch. About a month went by. It wasn't fun. Serving God, there's joy, there's fulfillment in serving the Lord, but sometimes it's just not very pleasant. And the reason is we live in a very wicked, sinful world that desperately needs the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And getting that message of the Savior to sinful people sometimes isn't very pleasant. You know what I found? Sinful, unregenerate people sometimes say sinful things. Sometimes they do things that are sinful. And it's not very pleasant. It's not very pleasant. Serving God isn't always convenient. Think about what Jonah was going to have to do to get this message to Nineveh. I mean, just assuming he's going to do everything God tells him to do right away. Disregard the whale and the fleeing and all of that. Just if he was going to get up and go. It's a long way off. Would you agree? I'm putting myself in Jonah's shoes. I'm assuming he's got plans for the next few months. I do. I would imagine he had stuff. He's older now. He's probably got grandkids. And I think in the Hebrew it says there was a party for one of the grandkids a couple weeks down. There's a reunion coming up. And all these different things going on. Man alive. You want me to go over there? I'm going to miss the party. And I was going to take vacation and go to Sicily and visit Alan Hamilton. And man, I got to cancel my vacation. Serving God is the joy of my life. Sometimes it's hard. A lot of times it's inconvenient. But it's always the right thing to do. It's always the right thing to do. Serving God is a great, great privilege. Serving God is a great and honorable opportunity. And Jonah missed it completely. Now, God still used him. He went. He capitulated. We'll see that. But boy, what did he miss out on God's blessing? So what do we know? We know God calls people. He's given us all a command. He calls some folks to particular areas at a particular time for a particular reason. Not always easy, it's not always right, but it always is best to serve the Lord. Does that make sense? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask, Lord, you'd help us see our part in this great thing called the gospel ministry. Help us to see what role we play and what part we have. We're all to be a witness, Lord. You've made that clear. We're all to win souls. But Lord, we all have a special little place we fit in, and we ask, dear God, that you would help us on that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many would say, preacher, I want to reevaluate my service to the Lord and my attitude about my service. I think the challenge tonight is this. Do I view being a witness and being part of the gospel ministry, do I view that as a obligation on my part or a favor I'm doing God? Or do I view it as a tremendous, tremendous honor? And that will affect our whole attitude. Those disciples in Acts, man, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer. Man, God help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. I need to evaluate my attitude about serving the Lord and my role in the ministry. How about it? Any like that by the uplifted hand? Sure. That's the Spirit of God dealing with our hearts. Holy Spirit of God dealing with our hearts. Let's let Him have His way. Let's agree with Him. Let's reevaluate our approach. Father, bless us. Lord, you know where we're at. You know our thinking. God, we want to be clear. We want to have a right perspective on all of this. And help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.